Not everybody was given that gift. If you will, open your Bibles to the book of Corinthians, the first book of Corinthians, the chapter 6, and we'll be reading from verse 9. It is good to see you this morning. Always glad to have the opportunity to meet in the name of the Lord. I enjoyed the Sunday school lesson on some of those songs. It said, mortal kin. And I first thought, kin, like in Barbie's boyfriend. And I said, no, that's not it. Kin, like kinfolk. No, that can't be it. Mortal kin, mortal knowledge. See, I learned something there. So look it up in your dictionary. That's what they're made for. 1 Corinthians in chapter 6 and verse 9, the Bible tells us, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, at the behest of my grandsons who like some sort of formality or outline, I've outlined this message this morning. There are 4 points I want to bring out in this passage. The first one is the question, know ye not? The second one is the imperative, be not deceived. The third point is the declaration, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And the last one is the hope, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified. So let's look at those 4 points after a quick word of prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank you for the opportunity to meet here in that name which is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the freedom we have. We do want to remember all of our soldiers that have given their lives for this great nation. There's a day that we're setting apart tomorrow in memorial for them. We want to remember them. We want to thank them for their sacrifice. We want to glorify you and your mercy and your grace. If there's anyone here this morning that's not saved, that they might come to know you as their Savior, I pray that the saints of God would be encouraged and edified by the words this morning. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The question, know ye not? Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? It seems to me that most of us would assume that's just a rhetorical question because it's intuitive. We would naturally assume that only good people go to heaven. Most people I've talked to, including myself, in my own life, in my own experience, in my journey to God and salvation, I intuitively thought that only good people would go to heaven. After all, God is good. God is holy and God is righteous and just. It was a natural assumption that those that would be in His presence would be like-minded. And yet, I found in my own self, my own conflict, my own problems in my own life and understanding and discerning, I found that I was not righteous, not holy, and not good. And that was a dilemma. And that's why I didn't think about that too much, because it was too troubling. And that may be the case in your own life. We don't want to ponder these things. We don't want to meditate on these things because the conclusions are not in our favor. And so the Bible tells us, in case you didn't know, in case you're ignorant, it's not wrong to be ignorant because you have opportunity to lose that ignorance and become knowledgeable. Ken. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? So don't delude yourself into thinking that you can go to heaven being unrighteous. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If you look over in James in chapter 4, you'll find, that not only the apostle Paul asserted this, but others in the scriptures, other apostles acknowledged the same thing. or something similar. James in chapter 4 and verse 4, you'll hear the apostle say, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Who as whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." Did you know that? Now you do. If you become a friend of the world, you are an enemy of God. And I bet you never imagined yourself as an enemy of God.
Amen.
Even though you probably have encountered people that hate God, that blaspheme God, that take God's name in vain, that have no interest in the blood of Christ, that trampled underfoot the blood of Christ. You probably have met people, maybe yourself have done that very thing. The fact is, there are people that are enemies of God, and that, if you are unrighteous, is you.
Amen.
An enemy of God. Why? Because you chose the friendship over this world over the friendship of God. You made a decision. We talked about that this morning just a little bit. The choices we make and the consequences. And James tells us, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever there will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." Have you ever imagined yourself as an enemy of God? Do you think God has a problem vanquishing his enemies?
No.
Do you think it's difficult for God to overcome the attacks of his enemies? Do you think it's unjust of God to destroy his enemies? After all, you and I, as believers, as Americans, we would believe that those that attacked us on 9/11 so many years ago, they deserved to be destroyed. And we rejoice when the Al-Qaeda was destroyed. And yet God has that very right to destroy the unrighteous.
Yes.
It's
true.
And we have no problem with that when we imagine that the leaders of Al-Qaeda, the Hitlers of the world, the Idi Amins of the world, the wicked of the world are going to be destroyed. But when we stop to ponder and to realize and to meditate and come to the understanding that we are the enemies of God. And we deserve to be destroyed. Talking about the question, know ye not? Do you not know? Jesus said, do ye not therefore err because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God. You know, ignorance is not bliss.
Yes.
Ignorance can lead you into error. If you don't know that the bridge is out ahead, that's ignorance. And you may perish out of that ignorance. It's very dangerous to be ignorant. And so the apostle asks, know you not? Don't you know these things? And then the apostle answers and he tells us some things, giving us knowledge. Jesus said, do ye not therefore err because you know not the scriptures. Do you know the scriptures? There was a day in the life of America when even unbelievers knew the scriptures. Do you know why? Because the main book in schools was the Bible. They had to read the Bible. You want to learn to read, you learn to read out of the Bible. Yet in our day, we have people that go to school and they go all the way through the school system and still don't know how to read the Bible or otherwise.
Yeah.
And it's a great error not knowing the scriptures because the scriptures will declare unto us the future. Things that we don't know. Did you know things were written that we might become knowledgeable? They're written that we might know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Did you know the Bible is written and portions of the Bible is written that we might know that we can have eternal life?
Amen.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus rebuked those that heard him for not knowing the scriptures, neither the power of God. Did you know the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth?
Amen.
Did you know how important the gospel is? The gospel, the good news that Christ came into the world and died for the ungodly.
Amen.
What a wonderful news. I remember many a time that when Janice and I were in Poland, people would come up to us and they would say, first of all, they would say, because of our accent, because of our inability to speak properly the Polish language. And I'm reminded, Bill says, don't sing if you can't sing. I said, I don't know why he's always talking to me. Every Sunday he's talking to me. But in Poland, they would come up to us and the first thing they would say is, you're not from here, are you? And then when you tell them that you're American, they got all excited. Oh, you're American. What are you doing here? What an opportunity. What are you doing here? My answer was mostly, I'm looking for sinners. And that would take them aback a bit. What are you looking for sinners? I got some good news for sinners. And they would say, well, open your eyes, look around. I said, yeah, that's what I thought. I thought there were a lot of sinners would be here. And some of them would say, what, they got no sinners in Texas? I said, yeah, but I'm looking for sinners. What are you going to do when you find a sinner? I'm going to tell them some good news. I got good news for sinners. But the problem is, it's difficult to find people that would acknowledge that they're sinners. Oh, yes, generally everybody say, yeah, I'm a sinner. But not a sinner in the Bible, that a sinner is not worthy of the kingdom of God. Not the type of sinner outlined in the Bible that is an enemy of God, that's worthy to be destroyed, that's worthy to be cast in a lake of fire. Those type of sinners are far, far away. So difficult to find. And the Bible tells us the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If you look over in John chapter 5, the Bible does give us some knowledge. The first epistle of John chapter 5 and verse 11. This is the record that God had given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. There are some things that we can know by the Scriptures. We can know by the Scriptures that if we're unrighteous, we are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. In fact, the apostle gives us a list here of other people. And we'll get to that list here in just a minute. That was the question. Know ye not? Now, the imperative is, he says, be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Are you in that list? Are you?
Amen.
Then he says, be not deceived.
Amen.
Be not deceived. Did you know there is deception in the world? You've probably been deceived more than once. I know I have. Salesmen have a way of deceiving us. I've never in my experience, let me modify that a little bit. Almost never, to the point that I can't remember at this time, any time where a salesman has offered me a guarantee, that guarantee was fulfilled. At this very moment, I can't remember a time. I was deceived every time. Even when they articulated and said what their guarantee was, there was always some fine print at the very bottom. They would say, Janice and I, when we were furnishing our apartment in Torun, we went out and bought some, stoves, and you had to buy a stove and you had to buy a refrigerator and a dishwasher, and Janice decided she wanted a theme, Samson. So we got all Samson, and the salesman said, yes, this is guaranteed for 2 years. Wow. And 2 years and one day, they all broke down. And the salesman said, yeah, it's guaranteed. We used to have a 1 year guarantee. That way when they called us one day after, we could say, now we can say it's 2 years. So we covered that one day after the 1 year guarantee and we extended it out to 2 years. And now there's no one day after the 2 years, which basically said that we had to buy all new appliances for our apartment. Deceived. Now, it's one thing to be deceived and suffer a financial loss. But what about the deception that affects your soul for eternity? What if you thought all your life, because you heard ministers or people that were supposed to be religious or called themselves Christians, or you watched them on the TV or you heard them on the radio or you read their commentaries, what if you followed them and then on judgment day you heard Jesus say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And your cry would be, "I was deceived." And yet, without excuse, because the Bible tells us over and over again, be not deceived. Right. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Be not deceived, the Bible says. God is not mocked. And how many people ignore that imperative?
Amen.
Ignore that warning by God that clamored and claimed and preached, be not deceived. Jesus said it. He said, "Take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them." Many shall be deceived. Isn't that frightening?
Amen.
It's really frightening because we are deceiving ourselves into thinking, "I'm not going to be one of the many." Isn't that the way we are? Isn't that our nature? The conclusion is that's somebody else that's going to be deceived, not me. I'm not going to be deceived. No salesman's going to deceive me. No preacher's going to deceive me. No religious quack is going to deceive me. I'm going to know. Now, we may not say that verbally, but it's in our heart, isn't it? Jesus said, the Bible says, the apostles declared, be not deceived. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's quite a list. Are you on it?
Amen.
Idolaters.
Amen.
Covetous. Revilers. Drunkards. Ever been drunk? There's another list over in, I had it here. Well, where'd it go? There it is. There's another list in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Are you on the list? Have you ever done any of these things? Be honest with yourself. Be not deceived. Have you done anything? Don't be like those students in Warsaw, Poland so many years ago, teaching English. Had a big old whiteboard. Big whiteboard. About 8 feet long at least. 4 feet by 8 feet at least. Big whiteboard. Teaching this class on English. I had a class and the school allowed me to teach students that volunteered. They said if you come to class, they pay what I thought was an exorbitant amount of money to learn English, and they paid me well, which I was thankful for. But they would give one free class to the students, and in order to get volunteers from the teachers, they would allow us to pick the subject. So I volunteered, and my subject was, they told you that you go to hell. But do you need a map to get there? And that was the subject of my lesson. And so they would come to the lesson and we would talk and have this big board and I would explain the things and we would talk about what is hell and what does the phrase mean. And I'd go through the explanation and then I would ask them, all right, who's going to hell? And almost every class I'd have somebody say, politicians. And I would write politicians on the board in English. Anybody else going to hell? And believe it or not, they would ponder. You could see their brains were cranking. Who's going to go to hell? The brains are cranking. I'm going to ask the same question. Who's going to go to hell? Anybody have an answer? Sinners. Okay, let's put sinners on the board. Who else is going to go to hell besides the politicians? Anybody else going to hell? Do I have an answer? This is an opportunity for you. You can raise your hand. You're my students this morning. Who's going to go to hell?
Thieves.
All right, we put thieves on there.
Unrighteous.
The unrighteous. Anybody else?
Murderers.
Anybody else? I just gave you a list here.
Extortioners.
Extortioners. Adulterers.
Lawyers.
Lawyers and politicians. You poor lawyers are in there. Anybody else?
Child molesters.
Pedophiles. How about liars? How about idolaters?
Unbelievers.
How about unbelievers?
Covetous.
The covetous. You can look. It's an open book test. There's some answers here for you.
Drunkards. Robert said
used car salesmen. Workers at JCPenney's. Workers at Ford's. Workers at your company, including you. Look in Revelation 21. I'll give you some more. I'll give you some help. Revelation 21 and verse 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. White liars, black liars, green liars, red, it doesn't matter what kind of liar you are, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burned with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And to finish my story, that 8-foot by 4-foot whiteboard was filled with adjectives describing people that were going to go to hell. Can you imagine? We've got quite a list here in just 2 or 3 verses. Then the follow-up question was, other than politicians, do you know anybody personally that's going to go to hell? Chirps. Crickets. And again, you could see the brain cranking. And every once in a while you'd see something like this. They, after a list, 8-foot by 4-foot of English words, English adjectives describing sinners, the types of people that are going to go to hell, they could not think of one person that was going to go to hell. And the Bible says, be not deceived. Are you a liar? Are you a sinner?
Amen.
Are you unrighteous?
Amen.
Are you full of wrath?
Yeah.
Are you a murderer? Are you an adulterer? Are you a fornicator? Are you a thief? Do you envy? Do you covet? Isn't it amazing how we can say that's them and not me?
Amen.
And yet the Bible says be not deceived.
Amen.
The imperative be not deceived, the declaration is the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Who are the unrighteous? We just listed a lot of them. The unrighteous are the ones that are not righteous. They're unjust. They're immoral. They're sinful. They're wicked. Are you a sinner?
Amen.
A sinner is an unrighteous person.
Amen.
Because you've sinned against an almighty God. You're unholy. You're unrighteous. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Have you ever done evil?
Amen.
There is none righteous, declared the Apostle Paul. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Jesus said to a young man one time, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus asked the question, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that being God." Let me ask you, sinner friend, let me ask you, my friend, sitting here this morning, if only the good go to heaven, and God is the only good, who's in heaven?
Nobody.
Oh, nobody but God. Do you see the problem? Do you see the deception? The deception in your heart that you think that you're good?
Yeah.
You're not good. Have you ever read the law of God? I can sum it up for you. Love God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. How are you doing on that?
Right.
If you stand before a righteous God that knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart, could you honestly say that you love God and you love your neighbor yourself, or would you be true to character and try to lie to God? The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Isn't that scary?
Yep.
To know the truth and then not respond to the truth. He said, "Be not deceived." Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Do you know that you are corrupt?
Right.
You're not going to inherit incorruption. You're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Jesus said in another place, "I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, those Pharisees and scribes were pretty zealous.
Amen.
If I recall, one of the Pharisees in his prayer, he said he fasted twice a week. Have you fasted twice in your lifetime? When you would imagine a Pharisee in the Bible, do you see him just as a hypocrite, or do you see someone that's really zealous? And it's difficult for you just to read your Bible.
Amen.
They memorize great portions of the scriptures. Have you ever memorized the verse? When they asked these Pharisees, in their prayer, they said, "I'm not like these other sinners. I'm not like them. Are you like other sinners?"
Yeah.
Is it a pleasure for you to go to church?
Amen.
Is it a pleasure for you to pray?
Amen.
Is it a pleasure for you to give a tithe?
Amen.
Can you honestly say that you've kept the law? Can you say, "I'm blameless," as Paul said, as according to the righteousness of the law, blameless? How you doing on that? How you measuring up? He said, "Be not deceived," and one of the deceptions is we always want to compare ourselves to the lesser.
Amen. Right.
Well, I do take a drink every once in a while, but I'm not a drunkard. I'm not laying in the street in my own vomit. No, I'm not a drunkard. Oh yeah, I'll pop a pill every once in a while, but I'm not a drug addict.
Amen.
I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it should be required that I could go into and prove that you're a sinner. You could say that I'm not an adulterer. Well, Jesus said if you look on a woman with lust in your heart, you're an adulterer. You've committed adultery. I could go to say, I'm not a murderer, but I could open up the scriptures and say where you have hatred towards your brother, you're a murderer in your heart. I could do that, but I don't think it should be necessary.
Amen.
Just by reading this list, that one line, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? It ought to make you tremble.
Yes. Yeah.
The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm not righteous, are you?
No.
All of these sins and adjectives describing sinners, aren't we those?
Yeah.
And then he says, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And I know in the back of your mind, that deceptive heart of ours is saying, but I'll make it. I'll make it. You're like the child that comes home in this generation and says, Daddy says, if you don't do your homework, I'm not taking you to the movies. And you get home and he says, did you do your homework? And they all say, all the kids say, Daddy, we tried. And then amazingly, the daddy says, well, then we're not going to the movies. Well, why not? I said at the beginning, I will take you to the movies if you complete your homework. Did you complete your homework? Yeah, but we tried. Do you think the children went to the movies? And yet, when asking if you're going to go to the kingdom of heaven, you say, I'm trying. Are you a thief? Well, I try not to be. Think about that for a moment.
Amen.
Are you a thief? I try not to be. Are you successful or not? I tried to stop, officer. I tried to stop. I wasn't trying to speed. Be not deceived. My friends, if I close the Bible right now with what we've read in the scriptures, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. The declaration of God is those that do such things will be find themselves in the lake of fire. You are without hope and without God, and you stand as an enemy of God. But the question will rise in our minds, how then can a man be justified with God? Or how can it be clean that is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not, yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm, and the son of man which is a worm? Well, that is a giant step toward progress. If you come to the place, the realization is if the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, you ask the question, then how can I be justified? That is great progress. That is a leap forward. One great step for mankind. To realize that you're a sinner and you cannot think of how you could ever make yourself righteous. That is abundance of knowledge that this world lacks. You can't do it. One of the prophets said, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and I will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That progress, that great leap of faith where you realize that you are unrighteous, that you are on the board, you are guilty before God, you are an enemy of God, you're not worthy. What you're worthy of is destruction in the lake of fire. Once you come to that realization, there may be hope for you. They that behold need not a physician. And Jesus came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Are there any sinners here this morning? Are there any unrighteous people here this morning? Then God would call you to repent of your dead works, to forsake your thoughts and start a journey toward God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Little book of Titus in chapter 3, the apostle Paul said in verse 3, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." The hope that we have, my friend, is there is a name.
Yeah.
A name above every name.
Amen.
The name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is able to wash you, to cleanse you, to sanctify you, and to justify you before God. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And those that were at enemies with God and at enmity with God, they are reconciled by the blood of Jesus Christ in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be safe in the wrath through Him.
Amen.
Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." The deception that lingers in this world and is lingering in our hearts is that somehow we could justify ourselves. Somehow we can cleanse all those adjectives describing us if we would just dunk ourselves in that tank out there. Let me tell you something. You can dunk yourself in that tank 1,000 times. It's not going to cleanse one sin. It's unerasable ink. Have you ever written on a blackboard with the wrong type of pen? You can't get it off. You scrub and scrub and scrub and it just does not want to come off. The only thing that can cleanse sins is the blood of Christ.
Amen.
And the only way to the blood of Christ is through the name of Christ. And that's what He says here in our text, doesn't He? He says, "And such were some of you. You were unrighteous, you were an adulterer, you were fornicators, you were liars, you were covetous, some were, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." And I'll close with this verse. It's in Acts in chapter 13. He says, "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man," that's Christ, "is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by Him," by Christ, "by Him all that believe are justified from all things." All things were justified. From which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. You couldn't do it by the law of Moses. You couldn't do it by the law of Mormon. You couldn't do it by the law of your own heart. But you can by Jesus Christ. And that is the good news that we preach.
Amen.
The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But God's provision, when He provided His only begotten Son, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you want to go to the kingdom of heaven? Do you want to have eternal life? It's not in religion. It's not in baptism. It's not in your ability to endure. It's not in your ability to overcome. It's not whitewashing yourself. It's not religion. It's Christ. And there's your answer. If you want to be justified, come to Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for salvation. If anybody's in this room that does not know you as their Savior, Lord, open their eyes. They might come to you. And if they have any questions, they can come to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you do have any questions,